Have you ever noticed that sometimes good news and bad news are the same thing? I told how some time back, about 20 years ago, I got a letter from my auto insurance company saying I got a senior driver discount. Good news or bad news? Let me hit you with an example that maybe hits a little closer to home. Here in America, government is not imposed on you. You get the government you vote for. Good news? Bad news? Well, obviously, it's a little of both, right? And sometimes we don't really know. Now, here's another one. Ready? If you exalt yourself, God will humble you. Is that good news or bad news? Kind of hard sometimes. I'm going to read Daniel chapter 4. In fact, I'm going to, even though you only have verses 34 to 37, the last few verses of the chapter in your sermon notes, I'm going to read you the whole chapter. This is probably the only chapter in the Bible written after the time of Abraham that was written by a Gentile, a non-Jew, because it's a letter written by King Nebuchadnezzar, who, of course, was not a Jew. And I would say the entire rest of the Old Testament was written by a Jew. Let's look at Daniel chapter 4. It's a letter. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, nation, and language who live in all the earth, are you included? May your prosperity increase. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders of God Most High, the Most High God has done for me. How great are His miracles, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. I love that. He begins with a hymn. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I had a dream, and it frightened me. While in my bed, the images and visions in my mind alarmed me. So I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon to me in order that they might make the dream's interpretation known to me. And when the diviners, priests, mediums, Chaldeans, and astrologers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. Well, finally, Daniel, named Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him, he came before me. I told him the dream. Belteshazzar, head of the diviners, because I know you have a spirit of the holy gods and that no mystery puzzles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I saw and its interpretation. In the visions of my mind, I was lying in bed. I saw this. There was a tree in the middle of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and strong. Its top reached to the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were bountiful. Its fruit was abundant, and on it was food for all. Wild animals found shelter under it, and the birds of the air lived in its branches, and every creature was fed from it. As I was lying in my bed, I also saw in the visions of my mind an observer, a holy one, coming down from heaven. And he called out loudly, "Cut down the tree, chop off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground, with a band of iron and bronze around it, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be drenched with dew from the sky, and share the plants of the earth with the animals." Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal for 7 periods of time. This word is my decree from the observers. The matter is a command from the holy ones. This is so the living will know that the Most High is ruler over the kingdoms of men and gives it to anyone he wants and sets over it the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because none of the wise men in my kingdom can make the interpretation known to me. But you can, because you have a spirit of the holy gods. Well, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was stunned for a moment. And his thoughts alarmed him. The king said, Belteshazzar, don't let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, My Lord, may the dream apply to those who hate you and its interpretation to your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew great and strong, whose top reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the wild animals lived, and in the branches the birds of the air lived. That tree is you, the king, for you have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown and even reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the end of the earth. The king saw an observer, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and its roots in the ground, and with a band of iron and bronze around it in the tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share food with the wild animals for 7 periods of time. This is the interpretation, O King. Your Majesty, this is the sentence of the Most High as passed against my Lord the King. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle and be drenched with dew from the sky for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over the kingdoms of men and He gives it to anyone He wants. As for the command to leave the tree's stump with its roots, your kingdom will be restored as soon as you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, may my advice seem good to you. My King, separate yourself from your sins by doing what is right, and from your injustices by showing mercy to the needy. Perhaps there will be an extension on your prosperity. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, the king exclaimed, is this not Babylon the Great that I have built by my vast power to be a royal residence and to display my majestic glory? And while these words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over the kingdoms of men and He gives it to anyone He wants. And at that moment, the sentence was passed against Nebuchadnezzar and it was executed. He was driven away from people. He ate grass like cattle and his body was drenched with dew from the sky until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails like birds' claws. And now we come to the part that's in your notes if you want to follow. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven and my sanity returned to me. And then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified Him who lives forever and ever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and He does what He wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can hold back His hand and say to Him, what have you done? At that time, my sanity returned to me, and my majesty and splendor returned to me, for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and my nobles sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and even more greatness came to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of heaven, because all his works are true and his ways are just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you love us too much to let us continue hurting ourselves. When you humble us, it is your way of bringing us to yourself. Remind us of this today, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the most telling words in this passage are in verse 34, my sanity returned to me. Now, what is insanity? Insanity means you do not live in the real world in your mind. It's different from being neurotic. Insanity is what they call being psychotic or psychosis. Dr. Murray Banks, a psychiatrist, put it this way. He said, the neurotic is always building dream castles in the sky. And do you ever do that? You ever daydream? You ever fantasize? That's neurotic. We're all a little neurotic, okay? The neurotic builds dream castles in the sky. The psychotic moves in. And the psychiatrist collects the rent. Look at King Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 4, verse 4, he says, I was at ease and flourishing. And he was full of himself, this Babylon the Great that I have built by my vast power to be a royal residence and to display my majestic glory. I have to tell you very quickly, it reminds me of the question that was raised when George W. Bush ran for his second term. And when he was running, the question was raised, do you feel safer than you did 4 years ago? It was a challenge question. And I said, that is an unfair question. Because 4 years before that term, years before 9/11, we were living in a fool's paradise. We didn't know that things were crumbling underneath our feet. We were wrong. We were at ease and flourishing, like Nebuchadnezzar. And we were not living in the real world, of a world that was out to destroy us. We are probably not yet entirely in that world today. We have probably forgotten a lot of it. And now in Iraq, Christians are being butchered by extremists. Folks, that's what the real world looks like. And that real world wants to come here. Pride, insanity, believes that we got what we got because we deserve it. We worked for it. We earned this. We earned the life we have. We deserve it. How many of you earned where you were born? How many of you earned your gender, which certainly has something to do with how you're living your life? How many of you earned the century you were born in? To play you a little film clip from the movie Shenandoah, starring James Stewart.
Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen.
Well, isn't he expressing a lot of what we Americans believe? Deep down, in that place where we store our guts. I got what I got. I earned what I got. Sometimes it goes to, and I'm going to keep what I got. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul writes this, who makes you so superior? What do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have that you didn't receive? We've been given so much. We have so many gifts. When a rabbi named Harold Kushner. His three-year-old son was diagnosed with a degenerative disease, and he was told his son would not live past his early teens. And that's what happened. And this rabbi wrote a book that became very, very famous, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Now, I have not read the book, but the title intrigues me, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Why would that title be popular? And I think it's popular because, A, bad things happen to all of us, and B, most of us believe we are good people. And so we identify with that title. And because we're good people, we have earned to have good things happen to us, not bad things. Welcome to Nebuchadnezzar's insanity. It's time to see reality. And that life is a gift, and that everything in life is a gift. I don't deserve what I have. I don't deserve what I am. But God has been so gracious and blessed me. You know, you can wake up with one of two attitudes. You can wake up saying, I have earned all this. I've even earned waking up somehow. I don't know how we did that. I have earned what I've got. What I see around me, I have earned. Or we could say, it's a gift. Thank you, God, for what I have. I don't deserve this stuff. It's gravy. It's dessert. Everything I see is dessert. Something I can't deserve. Something that is gifted to me because God loves me. Well, what does that mean if He takes it away? What? It's not mine anyway. And that hurts, doesn't it? That's a reality that hurts. Think of the most precious thing in your life. Something that's not a person. Whether it's your house, your car, maybe it's your career. And think of the most precious person. And I've got to tell you the harsh reality. God has every right to take those things away from you. I didn't like to tell you that, but it's the truth, isn't it? And I'm supposed to be preaching the truth, and I'm supposed to get your eyes on reality. Now, those are realities. It's a gift. Can you look at those things in a moment and thank God for them? Can you walk into your house? Can you go to your job on Monday? Monday of all days, go to your job and say, thank God I have this job. Sanity means seeing reality. And when you see reality, you find out that God makes things better than they were. Humbled people are greater people. Humbled people are greater people. Fellow that some of you know, Grady Nichols, he served as a pastor of many churches in our region. He has muscular dystrophy. And the guy has good days and bad days. He is the most effective hospital visitor I've ever seen in my life. When he walks into a hospital, the people who are suffering there have sympathy for him. And he's able to express the love of God to them. God warns us when we get full of ourselves. And when He warns us, He's really saying, stop hurting yourself. Stop destroying yourself. God's rules are not arbitrary rules because I say so, like most of us parents are sometimes guilty of, right? Why can't it? Because I say so. You know what the truth is? You can't, because that'll hurt you. And I don't want you hurt. You may not see the danger that you're in, but I do. Listen to me. I see the danger. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was much greater than he really was, and so God made him what he really was. I kind of have a theory about this, and I've been pondering this for weeks, so I'll let you guys, those of you who like deep thought, you are made in the image, what? You are made in the image of God. Nebuchadnezzar was made in the image of God. And I think God said to Nebuchadnezzar, let me show you what you look like without my image. could thank God every moment that you're not drenched with the dew, that you're not eating grass, and that you bear the image of the eternal God. God brings down the proud. And you know, even Job, who really wasn't a terribly proud man, he put it this way: God knows the way I take, and when he has tested me, I will emerge as pure gold. And Nebuchadnezzar did what? He emerged as pure gold. I love this statement from Gordon MacDonald. Gordon MacDonald wrote a book called Rebuilding Your Broken World. Gordon MacDonald was a pastor, a lecturer, an author, a Christian leader, and he committed adultery. And after he confessed it, he wrote this book, Rebuilding Your Broken World. By the way, his broken world was broken by him, and he's the first one to say it. And he says this in that book: the fact is, the God of the Bible is a God of the rebuilding process. And not enough broken people know that. Our God is a God of the rebuilding process, and not enough broken people know that. I think the problem, Pastor MacDonald, is that not enough broken people actually believe they're broken. I'm a broken person. And God had to break me further before I could see it. Sanity means seeing reality. That things are actually, when humbled, better than they were. And when we are humbled, we discover who God is. Isn't it always true that those who are closest to God are the ones who confess sin the most? I've shared before how Mother Teresa would spend hours in confession. How much trouble could that woman get into? How much trouble could she get into that you are getting into? And do you spend hours confessing? When you draw near to God, you see how great He is, and you see yourself. And you can only confess your sin. God's work, God's rebuilding process, is to transform you and me into the image of His Son. To make you genuine image bearers of the eternal God. And that is your gift. Nebuchadnezzar learned it. I will give you my opinion. I wholeheartedly believe Nebuchadnezzar came to the Lord and is a saved man. I wholeheartedly believe he trusted God by faith. Came to Christ the same way you and I have to. There's something he didn't know. He didn't know that the one who was greater than him became less than him. He didn't know that the one who lives forever and ever died. And he didn't know that death could end in resurrection. But in Jesus Christ it does. He'll find that out. That's okay. He lived before that time. You live after that time. We live in a time of knowing that the greatest became the lowliest, that he might display his greatness. God highly exalted Jesus Christ because he lowered himself and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What's Daniel's advice? Humble yourself before God humbles you. Humble yourself before God humbles you. What's the promise? If we don't, God will humble us. What's the beauty? When He does, He leaves the stump. He will raise you up. He will rebuild you. Yield to His rebuilding process. He's still doing it in you. He believes in you. You are His treasure. And He finds His pleasure in you, His image bearers. To truly bear His image, it begins by saying yes to Jesus. I want to be a follower of the one true God the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. That's where you begin. I want to follow Jesus. Where it continues, I see those places I have not followed Him, and before God humbles me, I need to humble myself and get myself back on track by staying true to Him, by staying close to Him.